Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we spotlight key health topics and community concerns across the Upper Cumberland. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry, and we're professors at the Whitson Hester School of Nursing at Tennessee Tech University.
Today we're recognizing National CPR and AED Awareness Week, which takes place each year from June 1st through June the 7th. This week is dedicated to increasing public understanding of CPR, promoting access to automated external defibrillators, or AEDs, and encouraging life-saving training in communities across the country. Joining us today are guests Sheena Hill and Marie Mosley from START CPR, here to talk about the critical role CPR and AED training plays in saving lives, especially in rural areas like the Upper Cumberland. Sheena and Marie, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having us.
To start, can you tell us a little bit about your background and tell us how you became involved in CPR and AED training?
Sheena, why don't you go first?
Okay. So approximately 1984-ish, I became an EMT, which was the first time I had ever been certified in CPR. At the time, it was being taught only to healthcare providers. So I learned to do CPR, worked on the ambulance, and then through a coworker of mine, Jeff Roberts, he was like, oh, why don't you be a teacher? I thought, okay, sure. I never say no. So, while I was in nursing school, learned to be a CPR instructor and helped teach other healthcare providers. At the time, we weren't really focused on community CPR at the time, because we didn't know how important it was back then.
Right.
So over the years, we learn the importance and that time matters when you're trying to save someone's life. So starting in 1992-ish, I started working at CRMC and the other half of the Roberts co-team, Teresa Roberts, got me started teaching healthcare providers within the hospital. So we were teaching pre-hospital EMS people and healthcare providers in the hospital.
And I was a baby nurse at the time, and I remember this.
Yes, you were.
I know. At Cookeville General Hospital.
Cookeville General, yes.
It was still called, yes. Marie, how did you get started?
Okay, so I grew up in this, right?
For the listeners who may not know, Marie is Sheena's daughter.
Yeah, so single mom there for a majority of my life. So where she went, I went. And back in the day when cards were issued, they were handwritten.
Yep.
So I would be in the back of the room handwriting cards while she was teaching. That way students could leave with their cards. And then over time, she became the training center.
Yeah.
So I wasn't just doing her cards. I was doing the entire training center's cards. And then as I got older, she's like, Marie, my classes are getting big. I need help. I was like, well, you teach. I'll assist. And then one day she just abandoned me in class one time for the cardiologist group. And she's like, you're going to have to run this class. I have somewhere to be. I was like, oh, okay. So that's when I taught a class very quickly from memory.
How quickly?
12 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a whole CPR class.
For a whole CPR class.
Okay. For the listeners, usually a CPR class takes around 2 hours.
2 hours.
So there puts it in a little perspective for you. All right.
So there's a lot of reiteration I had to do going back. We did do the full class after we
and they
all
are
caught
certified.
Our breath. They are certified.
It was a heart doctor. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I was like, man, I'll help her while I try to figure out what I want to do. I went to college, thought I was going to go off on this rogue anti-healthcare career path. Mm-hmm. But through teaching, I was like, you know what? I really like this, and I really want to stay in it. And I ended up going to EMT school just so I could get the medical knowledge to do BLS classes. But Heart Saver Community classes are my that's where my heart is.
Okay. Well, then tell us a little more about your organization, and tell us about START CPR, since it's community-based and for healthcare providers both.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, going back to Jeff Roberts, he was running the training center at Tech. Teresa Roberts was running a training center at Cookeville Regional, or Cookeville General at the time, which then became Cookeville Regional, of course. And then We had two paramedics in town, Brandon Smith and Kim Dyer. That owned a CPR training where they taught pre-hospital people, firefighters, and some community classes. And then due to how the organization is all built, it was deemed that it would probably be better if we had a training center with more instructors building towards sites.
Right.
So when we all merged, there was the names I've already provided to myself. They went, oh, we need a leader. Oh, how about you, Sheena? And, of course, I never say no.
Right.
So that's
right.
how that happened.
Right.
We kept the name START, which actually stands for Safety Techniques and Response Training.
Okay. Didn't know that.
We had, you know, all of us combined together, approximately 25 instructors. And since then, we've grown to about 825 instructors.
Wow.
We have now, we're working on our 23rd site, which is a go-between between all the instructors and our training center. They help us manage the instructors.
Are you guys in all 14 counties? Because our listeners are on, you know, this goes up to the Upper Cumberland.
We probably have instructors in all 14 counties, but we cover 8 states.
Wow. Okay.
In 2 countries.
That's true. 2 countries.
Well, not just Belize. We actually had a instructor that just went through the instructor class, and she's in Nigeria.
Very nice. Yes. International.
Yes. We have military people in the training center that teach when they're deployed. They keep their troops up, current on their cards. So,
what kind of services do you guys offer?
So, as far as our training center goes, BLS, which is the basic life support class, is our most attended class because all healthcare people are required to have CPR. So that's CNAs, the surgeons, and everything in between. But we also have many different basic CPR classes for community people. We have what's called a Heart Saver CPR AED class, which is usually, if you work in a job, you're not healthcare licensed, but you have to have CPR for your job to show certification. That's what that class is for. We also have one that's called Friends and Family, which is just a general knowledge CPR class. So if you're in a church or something like that, it's just the basic breakdown of CPR and a quick overview of the AED. We also have something called K-12, which is for the school system. So that's school-age kids.
And that includes homeschools.
Yeah. Very important.
And not just the children themselves, but it's also for anyone who's employed through the school system. So coaches, teachers, the janitorial staff. And the AHA has actually came out with a statement that says kids as young as 4 can attend a CPR class. That way they're exposed to it.
Their little brains are like sponges. They see and they repeat.
Have you had anybody that young?
I've taught pre-K.
Wow.
So that's
And my grandkids have been going since they were born, and we have pictures of them doing compressions on infant mannequins.
But they say if we expose them as young as 4, they're proficient on a mannequin by age 10.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is.
So it sounds like your programs are geared toward lots of different aspects of people. We've got individuals, you've got schools, workplaces, all kinds of people across the community.
Exactly.
Do you, and I really like that they teach to K through 12 because I am a believer that I think everyone should know how to do basic CPR and help. You never know when you end up in a situation where you might could help somebody. So I love that.
Another thing that was brought up to us is there's a lot of kids that are being raised by their grandparents now. So that puts younger children with older individuals who are more susceptible to cardiac events.
And you think of the rural Upper Cumberland, and you may be 15 to 20 minutes away from an ambulance service. And so, you know, those are lots of minutes that pass by when you're waiting.
What is important for the listeners and the residents of the Upper Cumberland, especially in these rural areas, to why do they need to learn CPR? And why do they need to know what an AED is?
Okay, so lay people are the people who save lives when it comes to cardiac events. And lay people meaning those who aren't in healthcare. So when it comes to sudden cardiac arrest, the first 10 minutes are your most important time frame.
10 minutes.
At 2 minutes, if nothing is being done, brain death starts. Mm-hmm. And at 10 minutes, we're pretty much at total brain death. And if you think about where you live, how long does it take EMS to get to you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Even in, well, for me, in Jackson County.
And, you know, there are mm-hmm. first responders that are going to be coming too.
True.
But it's
true.
Still
volunteer
time
fire departments.
Is,
and,
time is and brain tissue. Time
yes.
is
yes.
percent
so,
to survival.
So 2 minutes to get there. 10 minutes were
yeah.
not doing so well, brain-wise, because yes. of the lack of oxygen. Okay.
Yes. Yep. And a lot of people have the misconception that CPR is only for the heart and to circulate the blood, but the most important thing is the brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your heart can function even with damage, but when brain death starts, that's where the biggest issues come from.
Right.
Yeah.
What about AEDs? So where are those usually located at, especially in these rural areas?
So before we really dive into that, there's two
sure.
apps that I want to tell you about.
Yeah.
So the first one is Pulse Point.
Okay. Pulse Point.
Okay. So that's an app you can get on your phone, and it's ran through dispatch. So not every area has it. I know Putnam County has it. And we highly urge that people contact their EMS to get it in their area. But what it does is, let's say you go unresponsive right now, and I call 911 and I say, I don't know, she's not breathing. The dispatch looks at that and says, hey, this could be a cardiac event. CPR might be needed. So they set out an alert on this app. If you are 500 feet within the area, you'll get an alert on your phone that says CPR needed. Do you wish to respond?
Okay.
If you hit no, nothing happens. Go on about your day. But if you hit yes, a little map pops up and it walks you exactly to that person.
Okay.
So if you need to do CPR, you're alerted to it. So that's the general public responding before healthcare can arrive.
The layperson. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then in conjunction with that, there's Pulse Point AED.
Okay.
And it does not run through an EMS service. It's actually GPS, and it will show you any registered AED in the area, and it's international. So
that's awesome.
I went on vacation with my mother, and we find it that it's just really cool to do now. Everywhere we go, we'll pull up the AED map, and it will show us where they are. So when I went out of the country, I sent her a picture. Hey, look what I found.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. We're going to pick that up then in the second segment. Okay. You're listening to Local Matters, Health Matters. I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry.
And I'm Dr. Emily Lee. We're joined today by Sheena Hill and Marie Mosley from Start CPR in honor of National CPR and AED Awareness Week. So in our first segment, we talked a lot about Start CPR, the services, you know, who you support with your services. So one thing that we didn't get to that I want to hear about is, have there been any success stories in our region where CPR or an AED truly made the difference in saving a life?
So there's a lot of stories that we could get into, but there's a few that really stick out to me. One thing that we do is CPR in schools. And since this program has started, there was a high schooler who was home alone babysitting his brother, and his brother was 3 years old. And he noticed that the house was quiet, which is always an issue with a toddler, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to find him, and he's in the pool. So lifeless, he calls 911, pulls his little brother from the pool, and immediately starts CPR because he's learned how to do it in his school class, and he actually got his brother back and breathing before EMS arrived.
Mm. That's amazing. That gives me cold chills.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've had, there was one where a girl was working at a restaurant with a drive-through. A van pulls up, lifeless baby. She goes through the drive-through, grabs baby, starts CPR. Baby came to before EMS arrival.
Wow. And that was actually like recorded. You could see the little hand reach up and touch that girl's face. And like I said, she was a teenager as well. She was like 17 years old.
Wow.
Another instance is the use of Pulse Point. Before it became live in our community, it was under a trial phase in our first responders. And one of the first responders was actually just doing his grocery shopping at the Walmart.
Yeah.
And his phone goes off that says, CPR needed at Walmart. And so he's running around Walmart, finds the guy, starts CPR. There's an AED, shocks him, gets him in the ambulance, and the guy survived. He just so happened to be traveling through either back to Texas or from, I don't know where he was going. Mm-hmm. But he went from here, but he was able to go home to his family after that.
Wow. So that was with the Pulse Point app.
Yes.
That you talked about in the first segment.
And it showed him where the AED was located within the store.
So why, as professionals, both of you are professionals and experts, why then is this such an important time for public education this week?
All right. So 300,000 people die each year of sudden cardiac arrest within the United States alone. And it's the people in the public who make the biggest impact when it comes to survival. So the more people that we have trained and the earlier recognition, the higher the chances of survivability are.
Yes.
Very true. Everybody asks, well, why do you keep getting more and more instructors? One person can only teach so much.
Oh, absolutely.
So the bigger we get, the more instructors we get, the more people are educated. And they can talk to the instructors, talk to their families. And mm-hmm. that's how, I got my daughter into it. Mm-hmm. So other mm-hmm. instructors can get their family involved or at least know the steps of CPR.
Right. Do you guys have a website that you?
We do have a new website. Launched it last year, and okay. it's a work in progress.
That's okay.
StartCPRTN.com.
StartCPRTN.com. Okay. For our listeners out there, if you're interested in getting courses, especially with Awareness Week this week.
Mm-hmm. I visited your website last week.
Did you?
It worked great. Perfect.
Awesome.
See?
We're going to continue to work on that, but we're also on Facebook. Start CPR.
Okay. We post all of our events on there. I'm more user savvy mm-hmm. with the Facebook. Right. So we do a lot of outreach through there and Google. Mm-hmm. We're listed on Google.
We are on Google.
Okay. Awesome. So thinking of this National CPR and AED Awareness Week that is this week, June 1st through the 7th, are you guys with Start CPR, are you doing anything specific to promote awareness? Are there any events within our community? Is school outreach? I know school's out for summer, but anything that you think promotion-wise?
Us specifically, we don't. We're just a mom and daughter operation. Mm-hmm. But we do have a lot of amazing people within our training center. So we have a lot of sites that are very active with community events. Before school lets out, actually, in February is when Putnam County EMS and City Fire actually go into our school systems to teach CPR to all of our sophomores and seniors. And then, Mom, if you want to tell them about Memphis.
Yes. We have a site in Memphis. It's called LF Mobile. Latrice Franklin is the one that owns that training site. She raises money throughout the year and specifically the week of June 1st to the 7th. She gives out backpacks to kids. She does hands-only CPR, which is very acceptable for witness arrests. She writes children's books that she gives out in the schools. You can actually go and purchase them, but it's little superhero doing CPR and saving lives.
Yep. So that's something we want to talk to her about on how we can get that started in our area.
Yeah, that sounds like an awesome outreach.
And of the 2022 actual up and running sites, they are all out and active, and they take the ambulances out, and here's how you do CPR, here's a hands-only station, come pump on the mannequins. So
we can get everybody trained. Anybody and everybody that wants
anybody
to be trained.
Anybody and everybody.
All right.
So thinking of that, one thing I hear from the public is fear. The fear of responding to someone who is, as you said before, lifeless or is struggling to breathe. So hesitation to step in during a crisis is a big issue. So what are some of the common concerns people have when that you guys see when it comes to performing CPR or using an AED?
So the biggest thing that we hear is, what if I break a bone?
Yeah.
What if I crack a rib?
Right.
What if I do it wrong?
Right.
Do I have to do mouth-to-mouth because that scares me?
Right.
We also hear people say, if I use the AED, what if it shocks me? We also hear...
which is a myth.
It is. Myth. It's a big myth.
See, we need to talk about the myths and the truths. Yeah. So, yes, that's a myth, everyone.
Fear to expose the chest, especially mm-hmm. with women in public. Mm-hmm. And also infants. People are like, they're so small. What if I hurt them?
Mm-hmm. They're so squishy.
They're so squishy. They're squishy.
Mm-hmm. I like squishy. So... For those who haven't been trained, so you cannot be shocked by an AED.
You cannot.
I'll say that one more time for the public. You cannot be shocked by an AED.
You mm-hmm. cannot. The way they function, mm-hmm. they recognize the rhythm that needs to be shocked.
Right.
And it will not charge unless it sees that rhythm. And the ones today, unlike the ones years ago, it will not deliver a shock until you push the button that lights up red.
Okay, good to know. So for those who haven't been trained and they're getting over this fear and they're wanting to do this and learn how to do this for their own safety, for their community, how long does it take to get CPR certified?
So classes take about 2 hours, mm-hmm. And I like it because it's video instruction.
Okay.
And it's hands-on skills practice.
Yes.
Okay. So it covers different learning. And also where the type is you're going to do it until you're comfortable.
Right.
So... Within that 2 hours is usually we can get everything covered. And then as far as continual education, if you're a licensed provider, you have to get recertified every 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we recommend to the general public at least the same because the more you're trained, the more you're exposed to it, the more comfortable you are to do it, and the more likely you are to act once you've had that hands-on training.
True. You've gotten over that fear because of your experience.
Mm-hmm. We've had some people say, well, I had it 10 years ago. It changes approximately every 5 years because mm-hmm. we study it, what makes it better. And that's actually how community CPR evolved, was because we don't need to wait till they get to the hospital.
Right.
We need everyday people.
Good
starting
to know.
CPR.
Good to know. We're here with Sheena and Marie Mosley from Start CPR.
Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry. Today we are talking with Sheena Hill and Marie Mosley about CPR and AED awareness and the life-saving impact training can have right here in the Upper Cumberland.
So let's talk through some of the common myths that you mentioned a little bit in our last segment that you encounter in your field. So first one that we want to go back to, only medical professionals should perform CPR. Can you talk about why that's not true?
It is absolutely not true. Because as we said, early CPR is what gives people the best chance of survival. And the stories that we talked about earlier, only one of those people was healthcare licensed. Everybody right. else was someone who took a CPR class that knew what to do when the emergency happened.
Yeah. And responded.
And I think some of that myth came from when closed chest or chest compressions was invented and taught. It was only taught to physicians,
right.
not
mm-hmm.
even nurses.
Yes, right. exactly right.
But that was in 1960, and we are now in 2025. So
exactly.
we know
things
a lot
have
more.
Changed. Yes, and we do. We know a lot more. What about another one? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
If I use an AED on someone who doesn't need it, I could hurt them.
All right, so AEDs are brilliant devices, and it won't shock unless a shock is needed.
Okay.
So when you turn the AED on, first of all, turn it on, follow the prompts. It tells you exactly what you need to do when you need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It does a self-check, so it lets you know that it's okay to work. And then it'll tell you, you know, remain calm, do not touch patient, analyzing. So during that moment, it's looking for what's known as a shockable rhythm,
mm-hmm.
Which is ventricular fibrillation or VFib. So it's just shaking inside your heart, or your heart's just shaking inside of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So when the AED senses that, then it's going to tell you, do not touch patient, preparing to shock. So you'll hear a buzz, and then it'll say, unit okay, press flashing button, and
right.
then it will administer the shock. So even if before that happens, you can push that button as much as you want to, it's not going to do anything.
Gotcha. Or if the rhythm is not shockable, like you
mm-hmm.
said,
yeah.
it's not going to do anything.
And there again, I think some of that myth came from when AEDs were first designed.
Mm.
We put them on patients. If it saw the rhythm, it automatically charged and automatically sent.
Yes, it did.
The shock. So then people were afraid they would get shocked.
Or on TV.
That is not true anymore. Or on TV.
Or on TV. Yeah. With paddles.
TV
the
does.
Old paddles.
Yeah.
I still see that on TV shows where they rub them together.
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore.
No, we don't. We don't.
And they don't arc anymore.
Looks nothing like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So
nothing.
Sometimes stories are hard to
they are.
Overcome and put in history.
That is. Those biases. On TV.
Yeah, on TV.
Misinformation.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's see. I think the last. Oh.
Yeah. So some folks think that CPR is just for older adults. Is that a misconception?
It is. Out of the 350,000 people that have sudden cardiac arrest within the United States, 10% of those are under the age of 40.
Wow.
So that can range from infancy to the age of 40. And another thing with children or infants that are in cardiac arrest, a lot of the time it's respiratory caused, but mm-hmm. we still treat it the same way. High quality CPR in the AED is going to still give them their best chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Within and minutes matter, like
mm-hmm.
you said
minutes
in the first the segment. So last myth that Emily and I have is, mouth-to-mouth is always required for CPR. What is the current guidance on this, especially for untrained bystanders?
So
is it always required?
It is not always required. There again, minutes matter. Mm-hmm. So if you witness it, they go down. Our bodies hold oxygen for up to 10 minutes without you taking a breath. So with the compressions, we're circulating oxygenated blood mm-hmm. without breaths. And if they have an open, if their airway is able for air to pass in and out, when you push down on the chest, it empties the lungs. And then when you raise up on that compression, air will actually come in. So you might be increasing oxygenation that way.
The only time we do not recommend what's known as compression-only CPR is, again, with those infants and children. Because most of the time, it's an oxygenation issue for them. So we have to breathe for them. And another thing that we provide in our classes are CPR face shields.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
give one out to every one of our students. So even if they're in that predicament, they have a barrier device to give breaths if they want to.
Okay.
And what does this device look like? How big is it that they're carrying around?
It's a teeny tiny keychain. It's probably the size of a half dollar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good.
And it's
so that's
very,
good for listeners to visualize.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very flat. But when you pull it out, it looks like a surgical mask. It's
okay.
clear. It has wording on it that says this side up, and it's got a little one-way valve in it. So when you do breath to breath, it goes in, nothing comes out.
And everybody usually has their keys on them.
That's true.
Usually.
Okay. So if someone listening today, say they've listened, they're not CPR trained, and they want to get trained, or they're interested in bringing an AED to their school, a business, a church, whatever organization it may be, what do you think the best way is for them to get started?
So as far as finding a CPR class, you can always go to the American Heart website and search training centers near me. Again, you can go to our website. You can find us on Facebook. You can Google us.
Give your website one more time for the listeners.
It is startcprtn.com.
Good. Thank you.
And if you're outside of our area, the easiest way that I've told people to find a CPR class is to call their local EMS or their fire department. Usually they are instructors within that facility, or they know who to get you in contact with to find a class.
Yes.
But as far as AEDs go,
there's lots of different avenues for that. You can Google search, as a matter of fact. You can go to Amazon for AEDs and get refurbed. A lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, it's not going to work, but it does.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but, yeah, they wouldn't certify them and sell them if they weren't tested.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah.
They get
yeah.
the same seal of approval yeah. as brand-new ones do.
Yeah. There are grants to purchase AEDs with. You can just look for AED rep in my area. You can contact CRMC Foundation. Mm-hmm. They can put you in the right direction.
That's a good one. Yeah.
City Fire actually is one of the ones that goes around. And like when there's a guideline change, they refurb those to put them on the right programming. So lots of different ways to get started. And like I said, there is grant money available to purchase that for your church. It used to be Mended Hearts program at the hospital that helped purchase those and put them in the church. Mm-hmm. And I think something similar to that is coming back to Kutver Regional, but there's lots of resources out there.
What about Carmen Burnett? We had I knew that they have an organization as well, and that kind of...
Yes, and it's located currently at the CRMC Foundation, but how that started was Carmen Burnett was a paramedic in Putnam County. She was within the training center, and she had this idea of teaching high school students, our school students. So she started the program, actually started with her and maybe a couple other people, but...
Her slogan was training everyday heroes.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Yep.
So she had been going into Putnam County schools and maybe some other schools at the time. She passed a few years after getting that program started, and with the help of some people at Putnam County EMS and her husband, they got a it wasn't a law to begin with, but it was...
The Carmen Burnett Act.
The Carmen Burnett Act that encouraged schools to put CPR in the schools, and then it became an act in the state of Tennessee, which is not only do they hear about CPR, but they have to have mannequin work and practice the CPR twice before they graduate.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, and since... all that started with her, and the CRMC Foundation still carries that part of their business.
Okay, and they help fund that.
They do help fund that. You can get in touch with them. They go into nonprofit facilities, mm-hmm. and they teach classes for free, and they supply the stuff. So
it sounds like there's a lot of avenues in this mm-hmm. Upper Cumberland area for someone who's interested in getting certified in CPR or learning about AEDs. To have access to it. And that's the whole name of the game, you know, access to care, access to health care. So if someone has been putting that off, so they've been putting off taking a CPR class because they don't think they're going to remember, or they're going to panic when the real, you know, real deal happens. What kind of advice do you guys give?
So hands-on training greatly improves response time.
Yeah.
But also the more you do it, the more you're familiar with it. Mm-hmm. So we recommend, you know, getting trained and then refreshing. But also, if you're in the emergency and you're the one to call 911, dispatch is trained through how to walk you through the steps of doing CPR. So even if you have a panic moment, mm-hmm. they can say, okay, let's calm down, put your hands here, and you've already experienced that. So it's just kind of like reinforcing those ideas and those techniques that you've already learned.
Very good. Very good.
And when they attend classes, they get information to take home with them. Mm-hmm. We encourage that you laminate it or something and put it on your refrigerator and just kind of look at it.
Yeah. Again, reinforcement, that learning. What is it? An adult learner needs 3 times before mm-hmm. it kind of starts to stick. And then plus you have the hands-on training. Mm-hmm. So that reinforces that brain link mm-hmm. in your simulation.
And we always say, see one, do one, teach one. Mm-hmm. So
that's right.
If anyone not only wants to take CPR, but wants to get involved in teaching others.
We teach instructor classes as well.
We do.
Yeah. So lots of opportunities. Yep. Sheena and Marie, thank you so much for joining us today and helping raise awareness about CPR and AED training.
As we observe National CPR and AED Awareness Week, we want to remind our listeners that bystander CPR can double or triple a person's chance of survival. Take a class, learn the basics, and be prepared to save a life.